In light of recent reports of E. coli contamination in a Northern Ontario restaurant and now in Southern Ontario communities, the news of a full licensing approval from the Canadian Food Inspection Agency of the world's first vaccine designed to reduce the shedding by cattle of Escherichia coli, or E. coli, 0157H7, is a welcome development. EcoNiche is now available for unrestricted use by Canadian cattle producers and their veterinarians. And joining us this afternoon, I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Brett Finley, University of British Columbia microbiologist and bacterial diseases expert, who discovered EcoNiche, a food safety vaccine against E. coli intended for cattle. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My first question, although this may seem like an obvious question, is the principal source of E. coli 0157 contamination from cattle alone?
Yeah, cattle are the main carrier. They can either secrete in the environment and then it rains and washes it into water supplies, such as what happened in Waterton, or when cattle are processed to make hamburger, you get fecal contamination, and then if you don't cook your hamburger, you then get it in it through the meat. So they are starting to spread to ruminants. It is starting to appear in deer and goats, but cattle are by far the major source so far.
Now, if someone is ingests this meat and is infected with E. coli 0157, can they transfer to other family members?
Yes, you certainly have to be careful. There is transmission within families. By far the most common way of transmission is through, say, contaminated water or foods, but you have to be very careful if someone in your household does get it, not to transmit to other house members.
And how common are contamination events and outbreaks in Canada? I mentioned two that are recent because they're sort of taking up a bit of the headlines, but nevertheless, how common is it throughout the country in, say, a given year?
If I heard your correction right, the line's not so great.
Sure.
How common is the disease?
How common are the contamination events? That is,
These are sort of outbreak driven. What happens is you won't see any for a while, and there'll be a contaminated either food or water source, and you'll see a outbreak of varying sizes depending on the distribution. Like in the States, when they're watering spinach with water that was contaminated by cattle feces, they then had quite a large outbreak, and then it went away. You see what's happening in Ontario right now with the outbreak numbers. It's thought that there's 500 to 600 deaths a year in North America due to this disease.
What are normally the signs and symptoms of the disease? What should raise a person's suspicion that they may have eaten something contaminated with E. coli?
Yeah, unfortunately, the symptoms are rather nebulous, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, just gastrointestinal-type symptoms. If it is a 0157, what is the scary part is that it can develop, and not always develop, into much more serious disease. You then go on to very bloody diarrhea, and in about 7 to 10% of the cases, you go into a very toxic kidney disease called hemolytic-uremic syndrome, and this has a very significant fatality rate, and this is what actually kills the people associated with the disease.
Now, I wanted to turn towards the vaccine's development and the basic science that was used in devising it. How did you approach this problem?
Yeah, well, like most things in science, it's a bit of serendipity. My lab for years has been studying, trying to figure out how E. coli 0157 adheres to the intestine, and we use cells in the lab. And through a variety of things, we made a very fascinating discovery. We figured out the bacteria actually come in and they harpoon a protein into our intestinal wall and they then grab onto it. So that serves as its receptor. And most bacteria just adhere to pre-existing molecules in the cell wall. So once we knew that, I was thinking, okay, this is a childhood disease. How do we develop a childhood vaccine? And like all good stories in science, I was off for a run in the woods and suddenly the light went on that forget the kids, it's the cows that are causing the problem. And we also felt it would be easier to get a cow vaccine. So that's when we started, and I called up a colleague in Saskatchewan, Andy Potter, who's a veterinarian there, and I said, hey, Andy, can we just inject some of these proteins into cows and see if it blocks carriage in cows and then see if that could then decrease human disease? And lo and behold, like a few things in science, it actually worked beautifully, and the numbers went way down, and we knew we were off to the races. And so then we really sort of worked on developing this, which BioNiche, the company in Ontario, then licensed, and they've now developed this into the vaccine.
So if I understand this correctly, it is preventing the E. coli from strongly attaching itself to the tissue of the cattle so that you get less of it being able to be transmitted or at least carried when you go through that process of slaughtering and distributing the meat.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So these cattle ingest this 0157 through environment. They swallow it and goes down in their intestine. And normally it would adhere to the intestine, and the bacteria would then grow and increase huge numbers, which then gets secreted in the environment. What the vaccine does is basically block the organisms from attaching, so one bacterium goes in and then one comes out,
mm-hmm.
and that keeps it way below the infection levels instead of, you know, hundreds of millions and billions of organisms coming out the cow.
Now, what is the vaccine's efficacy, and in terms of vaccine schedules for the cattle, is it one shot, is it boosters over a period of time in order to keep those levels low?
Right. Well, as you know, vaccines basically rely upon triggering the immune, our own immune systems to, should they encounter the real organism, be ready to go. So this is currently, many studies have gone on 2 and 3 doses. It's been through at least 50,000 cows over this time period. And what we find is there's a 3-dose vaccine schedule works quite well. And so it's given basically into the neck of the cow, usually if they go into the feedlot. And the efficacy of the vaccine takes it below detectable levels. So the numbers say it takes it even below the level of 0157 that we see normally in the winter when we never see outbreaks of this organism. So in theory, if we vaccinate all the cows, we wouldn't have this disease anymore in people.
And my final question to you, and pardon the pun, but is there a specific herd immunity that is required for this vaccine to work?
Yes, we did some experiments where we mixed vaccinated cows with unvaccinated cows and certainly found that even the unvaccinated cows mixed with those, because there's less bacteria kicking around the environment, it really decreased the 0157 levels in there. So where we'd like to go with this is to vaccinate the cows, not only going to eventual beef production, but also the dairy cattle and other cows throughout the country, because, as I said, it's now starting to spread into deer, mm-hmm. and worried about them defecating the streams, et cetera, as the numbers increase.
So is this vaccine now in use, and farmers are now using this to try and reduce those levels?
Right. So last year it was conditionally licensed, which means that veterinarians could actually ask for the vaccine for use in cows in Canada, and several did. And now just last week with the official approval, that means anybody can now vaccinate them. It's a bit of a dilemma because the cows don't get sick, so the farmer says, well, why should I vaccinate cows? My cows are just fine. On the other hand, you know, there's over 40 million pounds of ground beef that are recalled in North America every year to 0157. It's a huge tax on the industry. So they're looking at creative ways of vaccinating the cows when they go into the feedlot, when they're vaccinated with many other things where they spend about 5 months before they're processed into beef. So that's currently what we're thinking about doing.
Dr. Brett Finley is a University of British Columbia microbiologist and bacterial diseases expert who discovered Econiche, a food safety vaccine against E. coli intended for cattle. And Dr. Finley, I'd like to thank you very much for providing some insight into E. coli infections, and as well, I think this is a great development to reduce the risk of harm to people after they consume this meat.
Well,
I think it's just terrific.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thank you very much. All the best. Bye-bye now.
You're listening to Dr. Barry Dworkin on Sunday House Call.